This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne, and thank you for tuning in. What's in a name? According to an article published in the journal Personality and Social Psychology, people can match first names to faces of strangers with high accuracy. Joining me to explain this study is Associate Professor of Marketing at HEC Paris, Dr. Anne-Laure Sollier. Thank you for joining me, Doctor. You know, I was reading about your study. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. It's deceptively simple, really. We've been working on this for 6 years almost to demonstrate that our face looks like our first name. In other words, we look like our first name, the first name that our parents gave us at birth.
So where was the study done at? Was it exclusively in France?
No, we've conducted studies in Israel and France. It was important for us to know that this was not a cultural artifact, but something human instead. And we're very excited because ever since we published the paper, there have been two replications already in France again and in the States as well. So we found the effect also there.
Oh, okay. So I'm a little curious. Like, my nephew's name is Ethan. Would Ethan be the same face in every country then?
No, it wouldn't. So the way that we think this happens is that the basic phenomenon is that if I come across your nephew on the street and I meet him for the first time and I have no idea what his name is, and you ask me whether his first name is Ethan or David or John or Matthew, I should guess Ethan about one-fourth of the time, right? There are four names. They are equally frequent names in the U.S. For a boy the age of your nephew, let's assume that. And what I find instead is it's more like 40% of the time I'm going to guess right. I'm going to guess his name is Ethan. So Ethan looks like an Ethan. So what does it mean to look like an Ethan? It means that Ethan and I share a stereotype of what an Ethan looks like in the U.S. And for years, he's grown into looking like an Ethan, like an American Ethan, though. So what does that mean? It means that we find the effect within a culture, but that as soon as you ask someone from outside the culture to recognize the first name, they can't. Okay? So it seems to be something that we do to our face to be recognized by people from our culture. So it's very adaptive in a way. So to answer your question, an Ethan in the U.S. might look very different from an Ethan in the U.K., for instance. Yeah.
That's
because
kinda,
of different stereotypes in the two countries.
That blows my mind. I mean, because my nephew, he's going to be 5 in August. So at what age does he begin to realize, like, oh, his body or mine, I don't really get it. Like, so he starts realizing, oh, I need to look like an Ethan. How does that work?
Right. So it's not something conscious, obviously. But it's something that we believe happens developmentally across your lifespan, basically, and starts showing up from age 18 onward, which makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, that's when you look yourself, right? I mean, you're an adult. You're now, you know, over your adolescence crisis, and you've forged your personality. So the effect, we don't show when it starts precisely. So our studies are all on adults, but we don't think it shows up until, at least 18, 20 years of age. And we find that it's very strong between the ages of 18 and 60. And beyond the age of 60, an aging face makes it harder to read and harder to recognize.
Okay, so let's say someone is named Alexander, but they primarily call him Alex. Would he look like an Alex or an Alexander?
He would look like an Alex according to the findings that we have. So we have one study in which we reasoned exactly that. We thought, well, if Alexander were to look like an Alexander, that should be because socially he's called that, right? If you stop being called by your first name socially, then there's no value of looking like your first name. Yeah, we think that people try to look like their first name because it's adaptive. Yeah, it buys them being a member of the tribe to do so. So Alexander, if he's called Alex, is going to then start looking like the stereotype of an Alex, which I believe there should be one, right? Because many people go by the name of the nickname of Alex. In one of our studies that we did in Israel, we had headshots of people who were using a nickname, but an exclusive nickname. So it's very common in Israel during your military service to be given a very unique nickname. Yeah, so my co-author, for instance, Jacob Goldenberg, never went by the name of Jacob. Everybody calls him Yanko. But Yanko is only a nickname for him, right? It doesn't go for all Jacobs. And so there's no stereotype of what a Yanko looks like. And in fact, a person with a very unique nickname like that no longer gets recognized. That's what we find in one of our studies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. So you might have people recognize Alex, though, because there are many Alexes. Yeah. So what you need is for a shared stereotype to exist in the U.S. society, and then people should begin to be recognized. If there is no such stereotype in place, then the person should not be recognized. So if you were called, I don't know, you know, Lulapalooza, and everyone calls you Lulapalooza from birth, then I presume that no one would guess that that would be your first name.
Now, did you guys ever do the study about, like, people who changed their name midlife? Like, did they look like their new name?
So we haven't done the study to answer directly, but if you look at our conceptualization again, they should look like their new name. So if you take, for instance, Mother Teresa, you know, it's customary among nuns to change their first names,
right?
When they become a nun, right? Also be among monks, right? In Catholicism, change your first name. You're reborn into someone different,
right?
Once you've taken your vows. And so Mother Teresa was, I believe, called Agnes until the age of 18. So presumably she did look like an Agnes at the age of 18. And then when she changed to Teresa, presumably she started looking like a Teresa. Unfortunately, we don't have a very large sample of people like that. So it would be an interesting study to conduct because, yeah, we would predict that, yes, people would start looking like their new name.
Now, can a name...
So in the States, in the States, I know that it's common for people to change their name, actually, when they don't like it. So it's not like you're going to get rid of your first name and stop looking like something, right? I mean, if you take a first name for which there is a stereotype in society, you're going to feel the pressure to start looking like that first name.
Okay, so when it comes to names, do you think, like, you should really consider, like, when you're a parent, like, what you're naming your kid? Because, in essence, you're kind of, I mean, this is going to shape not only their life, but their face, and in a way, everybody's perception of them. So, I mean, how important is naming your children at this point?
Well, it's always been tremendously important, right? I mean, if you ask any parent to be, they tend to have long conversations about what the name of the child will be. It doesn't change much because as soon as you're going to have, as you're going to pick a name for which there is a shared stereotype, it's going to bear an implication for your child. So whether you choose Ethan or Matthew, it doesn't matter. You'll have someone looking like an Ethan or looking like a Matthew. Right, so it in that sense, you can pick whatever name you like because that name will, in any case, shape the face of your child. I guess you just start thinking of names and stereotypes more clearly, right? I mean, maybe you have the intuition of RFX. Many people have the intuition of RFX. In particular, many people have had the experience where they meet someone for the first time and that person tells them, I'm Charlene. And immediately you start thinking, oh, that person doesn't look like a Charlene. How weird. Have you ever had that experience?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So people tend to have that intuition. So that means you do have the intuition of a stereotype, right? Because you do have expectations when you meet someone. You have expectations of what first names they might have. Or not have, right? So there is this notion of stereotype that people get a sense of. I think what's striking in our article is how big an effect it is, meaning you really do look like your first name quite precisely, right? So Ethan looks like an Ethan. It's not just that Ethan doesn't look like a, I don't know, what doesn't Ethan look like? You know, he doesn't look like a Nigel, right? but no, it's actually, he does look like an Ethan. So it looks more specific than what we might think of initially, thinking of our intuition, right, for the effect. That's the news of the paper, right? It's not so much the effect, I think, because people get a sense of it, but it's just the extent to which that's true. In one of our studies in France, one of our subjects is called Véronique. So we had the headshot of Véronique. 80% of our sample recognized Véronique.
Wow.
That is crazy if you think about it. 80%. Right? So you stop 100 people on the street, they see a headshot of Véronique. They are offered, in that study, it was 4 different names for her. And we changed the other names that we offer for as alternative candidate than Véronique. And 80% of people said, no, she's definitely a Véronique. She totally looks like a Véronique. That's what's striking.
Now, will the name and the face change over time? Like, would a Rachel from 1920 look like a Rachel from today?
Oh, I love your questions. That's a great question, because yes, it would change. So the stereotype is a moving target, right? We don't know. I can't draw you a Rachel. No one can, really. We can have expectations in terms maybe of whether is Rachel Caucasian or is she Asian, right? And so we have like those kind of tendencies. But it doesn't, you know, I can't tell you that Rachel has a big nose. It's not as specific as that. But it's presumably changes because it's such a shared stereotype within a society. We don't know what makes this stereotype. Presumably, from everything we know in psychology, there's probably a huge effect of famous people wearing that name, right? So a Rachel Weisz, the actress, would presumably have an effect on the stereotype of Rachels in the States right now. I don't know whether she's that famous there. Or, you know, a stereotype of Charlotte at the time of the Bronte sisters was presumably different from a Charlotte from today, with a Charlotte Rampling or, you know, different Charlottes who have come about. So, yeah, you're right. It's probably a different stereotype in the 18th century or today. And it's a different stereotype in the U.S. versus the U.K. Or not, right? I mean, it might be that a first name has the same stereotype the world over, because it's an international name, or because there are enough internationally renowned people wearing it who influence that stereotype, and eventually that crystallizes into a shared stereotype across borders. But you can have the same name with different stereotypes, definitely.
What did you hope to bring to light with this study?
So we hope to check that our intuition was right, because we are 5 co-authors on this from 3 institutions, IDC at Celia, the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and ATC Paris. And it's really funny. It's a nice collaboration where all of us had deep down the intuition that we would find the effect. We just didn't know how big it would be. We didn't know it would resonate so much with the press, because, quite frankly, it's been exploding since it came out. And I think what's nice with that effect is just to acknowledge that we are incredibly social animals, right? So I think one reason why people have reacted so strongly to our results is because they feel that their face is theirs. I'm Anne-Laure, so, you know, my face is my intimacy in a way, right? It's my unicity. And now you're telling me I'm wearing a stereotype in my face, right? And to us, it's really not a big deal. It's good. It means we're adaptive animals, that when I'm named Anne-Laure, I try to look like one, because when I meet other people in French society, well, there's a lot that I don't need to explain right before I start talking, right? It's all these nonverbal cues that we convey when we meet people for the first time. I can tell you I could not possibly be a Jennifer. When presenting my work, people told me, yeah, that would be impossible that you would be a Jennifer. And when I ask people to explain why, they can't, right? But they just tell you for sure you would not be a Jennifer. So it's just that recognition, right? That we are social animals, we are tribal animals. So within our cultures, we are motivated to look like others. And think about it more broadly. We dress like others, right? We follow trends. We follow fashions. We want to be part of the group. And we want it so badly that we are even able to change our facial features to integrate our group more easily. I think that's the biggest news.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I actually look forward to your future work.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your interest in our research. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Anlor, for coming on and explaining about your study. For those listening and want more information about faculty and research, visit HEC Paris's website, hec.edu. That's hec.edu. Thank you, Dr. Anlor, for coming on and explaining your study. For those listening and want more information about the faculty and research, visit HEC Paris at hec.edu. That's hec.edu.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.